Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning and we ask that You would feed us. And we know that You will, through Your Word and in the power of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 32... Genesis chapter 32, we'll begin reading at verse 22. Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse 22, and we'll continue reading through the end of the chapter. Genesis chapter 32. Beginning at verse 22, continuing through verse 32. So there you go, lots of twos. Genesis 32, verse 22 through 32. Hear now the word of our God. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them and set them over the brook and set over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore to this day the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we come to a most wonderful passage. It is one that gives us great comfort. But it also is a passage that, on our first reading, might seem a bit strange to us, because I didn't think we were supposed to wrestle against God. And why is it that Jacob, after wrestling with God, is blessed by God, and in fact is told that he prevailed against God and man? I didn't think anyone could defeat God. So there's a lot of questions that we have when we come to a passage like this. And when we come to the answer to those questions, I hope that we all see that this is a passage that gives us great comfort and hope in all of life, but especially in those difficult and dark times in our lives. First of all, reading through this passage, there are a few things that we need to explain, and then that will help us understand what Christ is doing in this passage. First of all, we have to remember the situation that Jacob is in. He is about to meet his brother Esau. And if we remember, the last time Jacob was around Esau, Esau wanted to kill him. And with
We might say, not good reason, but he had some motivation for it, because Jacob was a bit of a scoundrel, and a bit is an under-exaggeration. He was a scoundrel. He stole Esau's birthright and blessing. And now he's going to meet Esau, and the report comes back to Jacob that Esau is not just coming alone, he's not just coming with a few servants, he's coming with 400 men, which in that day and age was a small army. That's more men than Abraham had, if you remember. He had 300, this is 400. Jacob is crossing over the river Jabbok, which was not a big river, it was a small river that ended up going into the Jordan River, and it wasn't that incredibly large. But as Jacob crosses this river, this is the last natural barrier that is between him and Esau. So as he crosses this river, he now knows if Esau is to attack him, he has no way of escape. He's doomed. The description that's given in verses 22 and 23 is describing for us a restless night. And how many of us know what that's like? This is Jacob having a restless night. He is causing all of his company to pass over the river Jabbok in the night. That was not normal. Normally you would do it when? Well, in the daytime when you can see what's going on. No, he did it in the night, and he's feverishly going back and forth, hither and thither, trying to get everything sorted and have everything set up just so. And you can sense in Jacob's mind as you read these verses, he's running through every situation, every scenario, and how, what he's going to do when he meets it. We've all been there in those stressful circumstances, right? We're laying in our beds, still completely awake, thinking and running through, okay, if they say this, how will I respond? If they do this, what will I do? That's Jacob. That's where he's at. He's completely stressed out and sleepless. Now we have to remember in the last passage that previously we just considered that Jacob had prayed a great prayer of faith. He had just prayed to the Lord and declared that he placed his trust in the Lord. But here he is, freaking out, if you will, anxious beyond belief. We see in Jacob what we all see in ourselves. Jacob knows the right thing to say. He knows the right thing to believe. He knows intellectually what the truth is. But he is struggling in his heart to believe it. We have all been there. We all know what that struggle is. And that struggle comes about in those difficult times. In those times where we are being tested, where the fires of trials are really scorching us. We know that inward turmoil and that struggle to believe. Just like the father of the demon-possessed boy. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. We know that struggle. And this is where Jacob is. And the Lord, if He was us, probably would have just said, "Well, Jacob, what are you doing? Don't you know that I'm the one in control? I just sent you, remember in the previous chapter, I just sent my angelic army to visit you. Why are you freaking out?" That's maybe what we would have said in our impatience. But thankfully, that's not what the Lord does to Jacob, and that's not what He ever does to us. Ever. We read that the Lord comes to Jacob. And you say, "Well, I don't see that. I see a man comes to Jacob." Well, that's true. But as we read the text, there is a man that comes and wrestles with Jacob in the night and wrestled with him until dawn. Who is the man? Well, there's a number of clues given in the text and elsewhere in Scripture as well. First of all, Jacob in verse 30 calls this place Penuel, because he says, "I have seen God face to face." Well, that should give us a pretty good clue. In verse 29, Jacob asks for the name of the man, and he answers, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" Now that maybe sounds a very strange question for us, to our ears. But essentially what Jesus is saying, gave it away who the man is, Jesus says to Jacob, "Why do you ask my name?" Meaning, "I am far superior to you." That's what he's saying. That might sound a bit strange to us, but in ancient times when you knew the name of someone and you called out the name of someone, it was a way of subjugating them, bringing them under you. Jesus is saying, "I'm so far above you, you don't get to hear my name," in that sense. You don't get to try to control me. I'm above you. Okay? Also in verse 29, we read that this man blesses Jacob. And we have to also remember in ancient times that blessing was always given from the greater to the lesser. A lesser person would never bless someone that was considered greater than him. And so we see here that this man is far superior than even the patriarch Jacob. We also see in verse 28 that this man changes Jacob's name, which was something special and showcases that this man again is far superior to Jacob. And he changes his name from Jacob to Israel, which means God's prince. And we'll get to more of that in a moment. We're also told in verse 25 that this man simply touched Jacob's hip and caused it to be out of joint, which is a miracle. And in Hosea chapter 12, verse 4, we are told that Jacob wrestled with an angel, not a man. Taking all of this into account, one can only come to one conclusion, and that is that this is the pre-incarnate Christ coming and wrestling with Jacob in the night. Christ comes to him. But Christ doesn't come to him and give him a hug. That's maybe what we would expect. That's maybe what we would want. But Jesus does something better than a hug. He wrestles him. You might say, "Well, how is that better?" And probably the women are really thinking, "How is that better?" The boys are going, "Ah, wrestling, that sounds fun." But we have to remember here that Jesus' goal is to increase the faith of Jacob and to show Jacob the power of Christ, His power. And so as we look at this passage, Jesus is doing for Jacob exactly what Jacob needs. And he is always doing, when we are in trials and in difficult times, exactly what we need. He is wrestling us. Now, I hope that we still got a few questions bubbling around in our heads. Jesus comes to wrestle Jacob. Jacob doesn't seek out the Lord and wrestle him. Jesus comes and wrestles Jacob. Now we have to have a few questions. Why is Jesus coming in the middle of the night and wrestling with Jacob? I thought Jesus was with us, not against us. The answer, of course, to that question is yes, Jesus is with us, but maybe not in the way that we completely expect him to be. And then, why is Jacob fighting back? Why doesn't he just go into the fetal position and say mercy? Why does he wrestle Jesus back? Isn't it bad to fight against God? And the answer to that question is yes, but that's not exactly what Jacob is doing. That's not exactly what's pictured for us here in this passage. Jesus comes to Jacob in his restlessness and wrestles him in order to teach him some very important truths, truths that we need to learn as well. Jesus is teaching Jacob that all of the hardship that he has endured and is going to endure in his life is not ultimately from people or from the situations we find ourselves on this earth. His greatest hardships have not ultimately come from Laban or from Esau. They have come from Christ. Remember, Christ is the one that is in control. God is sovereign over all. And he is the one that even puts the hardship in our way. Which does not cause us despair, but gives us great confidence in every struggle that we have in this life. Because everything, that means every struggle that we have in this life is not ultimately against those struggles, but it is against Christ. We're ultimately not wrestling against those people. We're ultimately not wrestling against those things. We're ultimately wrestling against Christ. And not just against Christ in that we are opposing him, but we are wrestling in the strength of Christ against Christ in the sense that he is our sparring partner, if you will. I'll get to more of that in a moment. But this is incredibly important for us because this means that we will never lose. That's what Jesus says to Jacob. You have struggled against God and against man and have prevailed. Why? Because though Christ comes and wrestles us in this life, in the various circumstances that he has put before us, he does not do so to destroy us. He does not do so to defeat us. He does so to strengthen us, to uphold us, to showcase his power in delivering us and strengthening us. To explain it another way, Christ coming and wrestling with Jacob is communicating to us, as I said, that Christ is our sparring partner. You have this in boxing or wrestling or fencing, sword fighting, kids. You Boys, you know what sword fighting is, right? You've all played with sticks. When you have, in those sports, you have an instructor that fights against you, punching, wrestling, fighting, clashing the sword, right? But the instructor is not there to defeat you. The instructor is there to teach you how to fight. He's there to strengthen you. That's what Jesus is doing here with Jacob. That's what Jesus is doing for us in all of our lives. Children, maybe a better example is, have you ever tried to play catch with your father? Well, at some point, my guess is your father hits you in the face with the ball. Right? And maybe that was the father's fault, and maybe it was your own fault not being able to catch it. But you see in that instance that you had to go through the pain of not catching the ball with your hands and catching it with your face instead, in order that you could learn how to catch the ball with your hands. That's what Jesus is doing. He is teaching us how to walk through this life in faith and in His power. And that means that there are going to come times in our lives where we are tested, where we have that opportunity to catch the ball, if you will, or block that punch, or take one of our own. That is what Jesus is doing here. Which is why James says in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, those blows from Christ Himself, produces patience. It grows you up. It matures you. That is just another way of saying the same thing, what James says in chapter 1 and what we read here in Genesis 32. Jesus is giving Jacob an enactment of what is happening in our lives all the time. Jesus is our sparring partner that's helping us learn how to fight against the traps of the devil, but also to trust in Him for all things. And that in the course of the fight, in the course of the wrestling match, we also have to remember that Jesus really, truly blesses us. Because when Jesus comes to wrestle us, He does not do so to hurt us. He does not do so to destroy us. He does so, as I said, to comfort us, to strengthen us, and to make us more like Him. Remember, we are not purified by being stuck in a lazy river. We are purified through fire. Because that is the best way to purify metal. What would a lazy river do? It just rust it. Fall apart. Fire refines it. Now this wrestling match between Jesus and Jacob is an incident that also brings, as I said, great comfort and great blessing. to Jacob and to us. Jacob is blessed in two ways in the course of this wrestling match, maybe three ways, it depends how you want to split it up. But first, we see here Jacob is humbled. He is humbled. And also given immediate blessing. And second, Jacob has a name change, which is very significant, and we'll get to that in a moment. But first, looking at the immediate blessing and promise of care in this life, something very important happens during the course of the wrestling match. Jesus touches the hip of Jacob, and he puts it out of joint. Now anyone who has wrestled, and anyone who has even played a sport, a physical sport especially, but even golf, knows that your power comes from your hips. If you don't have good hips, you don't have a lot of strength. It's where all of your strength comes from. And Jacob was a very strong man and in very good shape, because remember, Jacob fought with Jesus through the night. Anyone who's wrestled anybody for any amount of time knows that it's very exhausting. He was in very good shape. Jesus, of course, had accommodated his strength to Jacob. But nonetheless, Jacob is a very well fit man. And in a moment, Jacob's physical strength is gone. He can no longer run. He can no longer fight effectively or in any capacity anymore. He will not be able to walk proudly up to Esau in his own strength. He will have to limp. Christ removes from Jacob his physical strength so that he cannot trust in it anymore and must place more of his faith in Christ. James Boyce makes a great statement about this section as well. And as I read it, he makes a point about when we are going astray from Christ, but even when we are walking in step with Christ, this is true. He writes, "Have you ever had your life put out of joint by God? Have you ever had your little plans dislocated? Of course you have. You were trying to do something contrary to God's will, and suddenly out of the blue, God uses sickness or a loss of a job or some severe setback or a disappointment to bring you to the end of yourself and turn you to Him." And this is the beautiful thing that then happens in this passage. Jacob goes from wrestling with Christ to clinging to Him. That is a picture that's given for us in verse 26. Jesus says to Jacob, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." I hope we feel the gravity of what is going on here. At the beginning of the wrestling match, Jacob is wrestling Jesus in his own strength. And how often do we start the struggle that way? We start the struggle in our own strength. We think, "I've got this. I can handle it. I've got the mental fortitude. I have the emotional strength. I have the physical strength to stand up and conquer this situation." But Jesus has now brought him to the end of his strength, so that all Jacob can do is hang on And when we go through tough times, times where we think we can't go anymore, Jesus Himself is breaking us down, taking away everything that we are placing our trust in, our own supposed strength, and bringing us to the point where all we can do is cling to Him. For when we are weak, then we are strong. And if we are going to continue to walk through this life in victory, we must remember that we cannot do it in our own strength, but we must always do it in Christ. And in these moments, dear brothers and sisters, we must cling on to Christ and never let Him go until He blesses us. This is how we are to read the Word of God. We are to wrestle with Christ in the text until Christ blesses us from the text. This is how we are supposed to pray, wrestling with Him, not against Him, but wrestling with Him, going to Christ and wrestling through life circumstances and situations, crying out, "Why, Lord? How long, O Lord?" But also always in those moments of crying out, clinging to Him, and wrestling with Him for blessing. Lord, please. Please bless me in this. I will not let You go until You do. You see that in the Psalms a lot, and we should imitate it. But this is the way that we are supposed to approach every situation. I will wrestle, I will fight, I will struggle through every situation, knowing that really and truly it is all from my Savior. That indeed all things must work together for my good. That indeed all things are in service to my salvation, because everything in this life is from Him. And He is doing it all for my good. And therefore, I will hang on to Him through it all, waiting for His blessing. Waiting for His blessing. Yes, Jacob had to wrestle through the entire night, but the Lord blessed him. And so Jacob has immediate blessing because Jesus removes his physical strength so that Jacob is forced to place more of his faith in Him. He isn't perfect, as we'll see, but he's forced to place more of his faith in Christ. With every step he takes, he is reminded that his strength is not in himself, but in Christ. So he is humbled, and as we see in verse 29, Jesus blesses Jacob. He blesses him. But there's another way that Jesus blesses Jacob. It is, as I said, the changing of his name. This is a blessing that has immediate consequences, but continuing results throughout all of his life and into eternity. Jesus changes Jacob's name to Israel. Jacob whose name meant the deceiver and the supplanter, is now called Israel, God's prince, or we might say God's victorious prince. The fuller understanding of that name, as I said, is God's victorious prince. Or we might say God's victorious prince under the sovereign rule of God. By faith we are partakers of the covenant, and the name that is applied to Jacob and to his descendants is also thus given to us. We are the princes and princesses of God. This text is assurance to us from Christ that everything we face in this life is from Him. But He will never destroy us, but instead strip away from us what we place our trust in and cause us to grow in our faith. And that no matter what, in Christ, we are and forever will be His victorious princes. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and we give You thanks for the comfort that we have even in life's most difficult circumstances. Even when we come to the end of ourselves, we are not left without hope because we know with absolute surety that as we cling to Christ, we shall come through and we shall be victorious. And we shall be blessed. May we live our lives each and every day with that confidence that You will never let anything overcome us. But in fact, everything, our every enemy, everything that would challenge us to supplant us, it cannot. For we know that it is all from Your hand, and we know that You will give us the strength to overcome, and that we shall reign with Christ in victory forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.